everyone, I'm Colin Ellis, best-selling author, award-winning public speaker, and facilitator of global workplace culture change. And in this, the Culture Makers podcast, I get people managers from around the world to share actionable things that you can do too to create a great place to work. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Culture Makers podcast with your host, Colin D. Ellis. And today I am delighted to be joined by Fiona Wright. Fiona is the Executive Group Manager, Climate Change and Energy at the Australian Capital Territory, or as we call it, ACT government here in Australia. Prior to this, Fiona worked as a senior executive in federal government supporting sustainable management and productive use of Australia's water resources. And for more than 25 years, worked in energy utilities, managing electricity and gas distribution and large infrastructure projects. A qualified engineer, she has a passion and interest in encouraging girls and young women to pursue engineering careers through the study of science and maths at high school and university level. She was the ACT Young Australian of the Year in 2002, ACT Young Businesswoman of the Year in 2001, and also received the Centenary Medal of Business Leadership from the Governor General of Australia in January 2003. Hello, Fiona.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
It was quite the roll call of awards. Does that still? Can you still remember? Oh, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? Like it was a million years ago, and it really wasn't. But obviously, that was almost your entry into work. Do you still have fond memories of those days?
Yeah, look, it was the entry, and it was 20 years ago, so it was quite a long time ago. But I think it signifies the fact that there are so few women in engineering, and the fact that, you know, there are a lot of accolades probably that came to me just by virtue of going into a field and exploring a field and having some success in a field that usually women don't really participate in.
I watched a video of yours recently, and I felt like there'd been some kind of small improvement for women in engineering and STEM, but I still feel, and I'm not sure whether you'd agree with this, it's still some way off where it needs to be. Is that fair?
Look, I think you're spot on. Maybe in some engineering fields are very much more progressed than others. I studied electrical engineering though, and that's very heavily maths, physics oriented, and in the electrical engineering space, it certainly hasn't moved on where we need it to be. It has moved along in the 20 years or so. So when I went to university and I joined my kind of first year class of 120 odd engineers, there were four women in that class. So just totally underrepresented. Yeah. So it was, whilst it's come away from that, it's certainly not at 50-50, which is where we'd like it to be. Because as you know, and all the work that you do, having that diversity of thought and knowledge and diversity in the workplace really, you know, unlocks so much more potential and different thinking and innovation that we need.
Yeah, I completely agree, and it improves decision making and so many other things. Do you think we do enough within our organizations? Kind of, I feel like organizations talk a lot about diversity and inclusion once people are in the organization. Do you think corporates do enough to encourage it before they get into the workplace field?
No, I don't think corporates do enough, and I think it's something that, you know, as a society we struggle with. So it's, you know, governments, there's not-for-profit organizations, of which, you know, I'm involved in one of those not-for-profits that try and really, you know, encourage women to stay with science, because I think that's the issue that we see here is a lot of the time at school there's that drop-off through high school where girls and women stop studying those subjects that form the entry and the pathway to a lot of those scientific subjects. And I know areas such as, you know, there's organisations, Engineers Australia, the organisation that I'm involved with, which looks to promote and unlock those pathways for girls studying science, so through Olympiad programs, things like that, and trying to make sure that that's seen as a pathway that's relevant. But I think part of the problem is it's that whole chicken and the egg cycle where there's few women that are in those roles being role models, and it's that whole you cannot be what you cannot see, and it's not seen as a pathway to promote. So that's why I'm passionate about it, and I do like talking about it so that people can see that there are roles out there, and not all engineers aren't, you know, men walking around in high vis and hard hats, and they're, you know, there's different people that are taking on different roles, and engineering isn't just one size fits all. You can, it can take you into all different areas of life, as it has done for me.
I remember when I was at school, I barely remember when I was at school, who am I kidding? But I remember we had presentations from organizations, and apprenticeships were being offered in certain fields. I remember engineering being one of them because, you know, as a high extrovert, that was the last thing that I wanted to do was engineer. I just didn't have that set of skills. Are those kinds of things still offered in terms of apprenticeships and those pathways that you talk about into those cultures, Fiona?
Yeah, look, I think they are, but again, it's that more can be done. And I just talk about, so my own experience getting into engineering was facilitated by having that, just that pathway. So for me, I feel like I call myself the accidental engineer sometimes, because what I did was, like most school leavers, you get to year 12 and you don't know what it is that you'd like to do. So for me, it was, I'm not bad at maths and I'm not bad at science, so let's look at that area. And also for me, my family didn't have a lot of money. So it was like, well, let's see what, you know, is there anything on offer that's going to help me go to university, which was obviously a key goal of mine. And that's where I, you know, came into this cadetship to study electrical engineering. So I kind of knew the broad area that I wanted to go into, but that really solidified me on that pathway. And I think had that not been there, then someone such as myself would not have gone into that role. So I think apprenticeships, cadetships, those kind of facilities that break down some of those barriers, perceived and real barriers, will allow more people of diverse backgrounds to get into these kind of scientific and engineering subjects.
And what was it like stepping into that male dominated culture 25 years ago? I imagine on the one hand it was quite confronting, but on the other hand you had this opportunity to almost reverse educate. I'm not sure if that's how you saw it at the time, but that, I imagine that was the case.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. It was eye-opening and confronting, because you go from a, you know, your society, your school, where there's 50-50 representation, and all of a sudden you're in a very male-dominated environment. I would say, though, that I have always found my colleagues to be quite accepting and supportive of me in that role. And I think it's that, like you said, it's breaking down the barriers. It's showing people that although you might be different, that, you know, you can still kind of get in there and get things done, that your abilities aren't changed at all. And for me, like, interestingly, I should say rather cheekily, I met my husband in first year of uni too. So I had a you know, it was nice to be around that kind of, yeah, pool of talent.
And so where did your interest, you know, I've had the great, and it has been a pleasure working with you, it is that you've got a real passion not only for people but for teamwork and for culture. Where did that stem from, Fiona? What was the thing for you? Was it an individual that you worked with that kind of created great teams? Was it just a collection over time of all of these different ideas that you wanted to bring to the fore? You know, what was the thing that really ignited your interest?
Yes, I think it's just a few things. I think it's that whole, you know, I came into a workforce, as we said, you know, quite a traditional workforce. And I think I was, you know, absorbed by osmosis, and I probably copied what I saw role modeled. And after a while, it became, for me, in some cases, a bit jarring, you know, where I actually found, I didn't realise it at the time, but it was this not realising that in acting ways that was not consistent with my style or my values, that I was, you know, feeling that, you know, just that wasn't really working for me. So that was, I guess, a nudge to say, well, that's not what I want to do. Then I think that observing of the positive behaviours and observing where things really work. And I think as engineers, we gravitate to, or I gravitated at that time to, you know, get stuff done. There's a technological, or, you know, there's a solution that's driven by technology or process. But I think it's that realisation through observing, you know, really positive examples that the way that we get stuff done is through people. It's not through those other things, because at the end of the day, I think, like, you know, organizational structures, they're actual imaginary constructs in a way, and we do it to organize the work efficiently, but in reality it's the organization's not doing that, it's the people that's doing it. So I think for me it's also being that idea that the people are doing the work, valuing the people, and then thinking about, well, what is it about how they're working together and their teamwork and their culture that's allowing that to happen in a really good way. And I think just to go into that a little bit further, where I've seen that it works really well is that where people feel psychologically safe. And I think that's a real tenet of good culture, is where people feel they can be included, that it's safe to learn, that they're safe to contribute, safe to admit mistakes, safe to challenge the status quo. All those kind of things promote a culture where you can actually have a trusting environment, where you can have productive disagreement. So observing kind of those things and when they work well has made me really want to emulate that and have that, because at the end of the day, that's where you get great performance and you also feel good about doing it too.
Yeah, I my first job as a public servant, and I want to ask you about being a public servant actually, but my first job as a public servant was for a state-owned enterprise in the electrical engineering space. And when I joined, there was so much emphasis on physical health, you know, lost time through injuries and all of these kind of things were crucially important. And yet we weren't monitoring why people were off sick in corporate jobs. And I remember specifically asking the question and saying, well, why, you know, why do we have so much sick leave? Why do we have so much attrition? And you know, one of the things that I've noticed certainly over the last 10 years is this real rise, you called it psychological safety, is this emphasis on mental health, on reduction of blame, anxiety, stress, all of those things can only be a positive, and they're just as important as physical health, you know, because I think there's, you know, now we're finally accepting that actually if you're stressed for a long period of time, it will affect your physical health. Whereas I feel like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we didn't really make that connection. And it was only through leaders like yourself that people were like, oh, I feel a sense of belonging and it feels safe to contribute, right?
Yeah, no, and I think that's not, we're not alone as public servants in wanting that, but I think you're right. Over the last 20 years or so, there's been that amazing shift and acknowledgement. So working as an engineer in a high-risk, physical risk environment, what you've said is spot on, because everything was focused on how do we minimize, mitigate physical harm, but we really also need to emulate that in the mental space as well. And I think all the stuff that we do for culture, all the stuff that we're currently working on for culture, just uplifts that mental well-being as well as physical well-being.
Yeah, because when people feel a sense of belonging, as you said, it makes them happier. They're more likely, and as a result of being happy, we're more likely to be productive. So, you know, the two go hand in hand. Now, I think I'm right in saying that you spent the majority of your career in Actua AGL, Evo Energy, I think kind of shuffling between the two there. And then, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, it's probably about a year ago, maybe, Fiona, you made the move from, because Actua AGL, Evo Energy's private sector in gas and electricity, and you made the move to become a public servant working for federal government. What was the difference between the two? What were the things that you noticed? And I know you've subsequently moved to state government, which is kind of similar, but not really. What was the things that you noticed? What was the difference between private and public when you moved over?
So I think the main differences that I've seen is the increased collaboration. So I think with government, a lot of government policies, if we're not careful, you know, there's the opportunity for, you know, policy levers in one area to actually go against and contradict those in others. So it's really, you know, in that public interest to have that whole of systems thinking and be able to put things together that operate across the whole government, because it becomes really, really obvious from the start if you're doing things that are counterproductive. So I find the amount of communication, the amount of sharing across departments is pretty immense, which, you know, is a staggering workload. So you're often asked to review, consider, comment on each other's work. So I think that it's a great thing to do, but it does create a higher workload. And I think the other thing in government is just the increased transparency. So I kind of hinted at it, I guess, in the first bit, but it's everything that government does is open for on the public record and open for disclosure. So, you know, is that need for really robust decision making and being really transparent about it.
It's magnified almost by, you know, by a factor of 10, because you're spending the public money, or the perception is, oh, you're spending our money to do those things, right?
The thing I was going to also add is, and it's not just, I think there's passionate people that work in across private sector and public sector, but I do see that the kind of people that are drawn to public service are those that have that kind of innate kind of value of either wanting to give back, or they have an area or an issue of interest that is something that's very close to them and they're kind of working close to values or, you know, areas of interest that they have. So again, it's, I feel quite easy to kind of harness that passion and then bring people together in a culture where we're really making a difference.
So when you think about the future now, Fiona, I mean, obviously there's plenty left in the tank, but in terms of, you know, your influence, your, I suppose your, you know, your impact as a leader, what are the things that, what, you know, what's next for you in terms of, you know, you mentioned you were on a board for a not-for-profit. What are the things that you'd still like to do kind of culturally within your future roles?
Yeah, so I think for me, I think culture is one of those things that you can never turn your back on. So for me, it's, you know, it's one of those things that I've got to just keep investing in my people, because it's not the, you know, I think it's great that we have workshops, we have, you know, times that we all come together and we set up our values and our behaviours and then make that agreement. I think that's coming to the point where that's a bit of a hygiene factor. It's something that we must do. But where the rubber really hits the road is it's the everyday actions. It's what we're doing, how we're interacting with each other, how we're walking the talk. And I think for me, it's making those constant deposits in the bank so that when things aren't going quite to plan, you know, the relationships are there. So the first time we're coming to someone, it's not to ask a favour. It's we've built that trust, built that level of credit so that we can make those withdrawals, or, you know, whether it's by design or a misstep, you've got that kind of safety net so that you can keep moving forward in that positive direction. And you know, it does it because you don't want one kind of small thing to derail the culture that you've worked so hard to put together. So for me, it's active maintenance in that setting. And I think also making sure that continuing to invest in myself and my own personal development, because I think not only invest in it, but protect that investment. So quite often being very, or I shouldn't say busy because you don't like the word busy, Colin, but being very productive people.
Productive, yeah.
But when there's a lot going on, I think it's quite easy to kind of put to the bottom of the list taking that time out to take yourself off the dance floor and to have that kind of personal development. So I think doing it, protecting the time, and coming back, you know, with that kind of refreshment and that new development to apply in the real world.
Yeah, and not being afraid to try different things. And that's certainly something that I've observed working with you, Fiona. You're not afraid to sort of say, hey, let's give this a go. Let's see how this works. And where would you get your ideas from, Fiona? Do you read? Are you a podcast listener? Where do you go to seek out your ideas?
Yeah, look, a bit of column A, a bit of column B. I do like to read. I get a lot out of other people, so just developing really good networks. And so, and I think technology now makes it quite easy for us to stay in touch with those networks. So as an example, I recently did a course with the Australian and New Zealand School of Government, and, you know, then we've got a WhatsApp group that allows us to have that communication that's kind of, you know, timely, real time. It can be informal, and it just allows you to kind of keep in touch, but it also keeps that group kind of warm and fresh so that when you do, you know, need to ask a colleague for some advice, you've got that there. And also informal networks, like I've got girlfriends that I went to university with, and we all studied these kind of STEM subjects, and we've all kind of gone off in these different areas of life, and we've got a friendship, which is of course what brings us together, but through that network also being able to test new ideas or be introduced to new thinking in their kind of different worlds that they're working in. So I think for me it's the people that I connect with and the ideas that they share.
Fabulous. Fiona, are you good at taking time off, Fiona? Are you good at saying, okay, now I need to take a break from work, or are you always on?
No, I think when I'm at work, I'm on, but it's a good question, Colin, because I'm just about to take 4 weeks off work, and part of that time I'll be overseas, and I will definitely switch off, and I will definitely know that the team back home is looking after things. Because that's what, you know, they're capable of doing. And I'm but one person as part of the organisation. So no, I'm no trouble with switching off once I'm out of the building.
Fantastic. Fiona, it has been so great to have you on the podcast. Thanks so much for sharing your ideas and being a guest on Culture Makers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, please share the link with your colleagues and friends or with your connections on social media. If you'd like to find out more about the work that I do, head to www.colindellis.com or find me on LinkedIn.